Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Neither all the demigods, this is King Satyavrata speaking, and he's glorifying the Lord in the form of the fish incarnation, Matsya. Neither all the demigods, nor the so-called gurus, nor all other people, either independently or together, can offer mercy that equals even 1/10,000th of yours. Therefore, I wish to take shelter of your lotus feet. Purport. It is said, Kamaistastaya hrityagyanam prapadyande na devataha. People in general, being motivated by material desires, worship a demigod to get fruitive results very quickly. People generally do not become devotees of Lord Vishnu, since Lord Vishnu never becomes the order supplier of his devotee. Lord Vishnu does not give a devotee benedictions that will create a further demand for benedictions. By worshipping the demigods, one may get results, but, as described in Bhagavad Gita, antavattu phalam tesham tabhakti apyameira saham. Whatever great benedictions one may achieve from the demigods are all temporary, because the demigods themselves are temporary. Their benedictions are also temporary and have no permanent value. Those who aspire for such benedictions have a poor fund of knowledge, tad bhavati alpamedasam. The benedictions of Lord Vishnu are different. By the mercy of Lord Vishnu, one can be completely freed from material contamination and go back home, back to Godhead. Therefore, the benedictions offered by the demigods cannot compare to even 1/10,000th of the Lord's benedictions. One should not, therefore, try to obtain benedictions from the demigods or false gurus. One should aspire only for the benedictions offered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharma Parikshat Maham Ekam Saranam Bhaja Aham Tvam Sarva Pape Bhyo Moksha Yishyami Na Suchaha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. This is the greatest benediction. Om Agyan Timirandasya Gena Jena Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Staptitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Mayam Dadanti Swam Padantikam Bande Ham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padikamalam Shri Gurun Vaishavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahaganat Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sarvadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Hey Krishna, Karuna Sindhu, Dina Bandhu Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namostute, Taptakanchana Gaurangi, Radhe Brindavaneshwari, Vrishabhanu Suti Devi Pranamami Hari Priye, Vancha Kalpa Tarubhischa Kripa Sindhu Pebhaja, Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namaho Namaha, Shri Krishna, Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrindam, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Beautiful prayer with great philosophical meaning. It's pretty much says the prayer of all prayers, that no one should seek any other mercy but yours. No one should seek anyone other mercy than the Lord, the mercy of the Supreme Lord. All other mercy is a diversion away from the supreme mercy or the supreme benediction that mercy brings. So whatever mercy others are offering you, we might say that if you approach a very wealthy person and he's very generous, magnanimous, and inclined to give whatever, and says to you, ask for anything in terms of money, using that as the analogy. And you say, my dear rich man, you're so kind, you're so generous, please give me £5. That's all?
Yes, £5.
Do you need more? Yes, but still, just give me £5. So what does that mean is that when we try to accept something less than the supreme mercy, we're cheating ourselves. We're cheating ourselves of the opportunity to get the ultimate mercy. And what is that mercy? The mercy of pure devotional service. The mercy of pure devotional service. We must aspire for pure devotional service. Even if we fall short of achieving perfection in pure devotional service, it doesn't matter. But we should aspire for that. Prabhupada would always say, shoot for the rhino. The rhino is rhinoceros, is an animal that is very difficult to capture and completely impossible to capture practically, and just as hard to kill. And they have a particular type of gun that is called the rhinoceros gun, because that gun is very powerful. And rhinoceroses are fast and big and vicious all in the same time. So Prabhupada would say, shoot for the rhinoceros. Go for the best. Don't go for anything less. And he said, if you don't make it, people will say, it was difficult anyway. But if you do make it, they would say, amazing, wonderful, you did it. It's a great achievement. So what does that mean? That means that we shouldn't aspire for anything less than pure devotional service. And it's available. And not only is it available, it's been made easier. Can't say easy, but easier by Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his presence on this planet. And mercy is so profuse and so available that to aspire for anything else would be, to use a very strong word, foolish. Foolish. Because it's an opportunity to solve all problems. In fact, if you look from the perspective of the complete whole, you can see that whatever mercy anybody else can give, either materially in the form of welfare work or various self-help, or spiritually by raising one from one level to another level, whatever that may be, one step to another, that mercy is coming from the source. There is no other mercy than Krishna's mercy. Just like we say, there's only one spiritual master, Krishna. One of the names of Krishna is Adi Guru. He is the original guru, and actually the only guru. But he manifests himself in various forms of himself in the form of the visible spiritual master, who actually is getting all his mercy, energy, abilities, and empowerment from Lord Balaram directly. So everything is coming from Krishna. Everything. And therefore, when we accept something less, we're cheating ourselves. When Prahlad Maharaj was he amazed his father. His father was one of the biggest demons in the history of demons. He was demon personified, or what we say, the best of all demons. And Prahlad Maharaj used to call him that, Asurya Bhaja. Oh, father, oh, best of the demons. And he had power. He had what we say, influence. He had everything materially. The only thing he didn't have was peace of mind. Although he had so many things else, he never had peace of mind. And Prahlad, when his father was trying in so many ways to destroy his pure devotee son, who was very submissive to his father, and he wasn't resisting or trying to protect himself amidst all these dangers. You know, Haranyakashipu was really astonished. He was thinking, where does this boy get his power from? It's amazing. I've tried everything. Everybody, even when I raise my eyebrows, the demigods run in fear. And this boy is not only not fearless of me, he can't be stopped by me. He was incredulous. In other words, to put it in a very simple term, it blew his mind. And he said to his son, where do you get your power from? I want to know. And Prahlad said, same place you do. Same place everybody does. The same place. There's only one place where power comes from. It's the source. From Vishnu. Oh, that's the last thing he wanted to hear. His enemy was the source of his own power. He didn't like that at all, nor did he agree with that. He became more ferocious. But Maharaj was speaking the absolute truth. And that absolute truth is that there's no other power outside of the source of power, which is Krishna. Prabhupada said, and this is interesting, nobody can do any good for anybody. Hey, think about that. Nobody can do any good for anybody. And anybody who does good for somebody is getting their power and sanction, not only the power, but the sanction from the Supreme Lord as an instrument of His mercy. And think about that. Because, you know, we like to try to do good for so many people, and other people are doing good for other people, and so many things. And it's natural. It's actually the quality of a human being to do good for others. But Prabhupada makes this point very clearly and explains that whatever you have to offer to others is given to you by the Lord, or by the Lord through the spiritual master. Or you might say, it's my karma. Yes, but that karma is coming from material energy, which is under the control of Krishna. And ultimately, that's ultimately his mercy also. So there's nothing outside of Krishna's mercy. Nothing. So therefore, this prayer is the most beautiful of all prayers, one of the most beautiful prayers, because he's saying that the devas, they're so powerful. The so-called gurus, those who present themselves as offering something, and those who are either independent or all of them put together, if you combine all the mercy together, he says, it's insignificant compared to what mercy you can offer. So when devotees pray, what do we pray for? I mean, we pray for a lot of things, right? We pray that, what do we pray for? We pray that I can develop the qualities of a devotee. I pray that I can be more enthusiastic in my devotional service. I pray that I can have better and more deeper relationships with other devotees. Right? These are the sincere prayers of the devotees. I pray that I can have more devotion to you. I pray that I can give up my attachments to material desires, material activities, right? These are the genuine prayers of the Vaishnavas. And these prayers, really, in order to somehow or other become successful, Because the prayer alone is not enough. It has, the mercy has to come in order to sanction the offering of that prayer. And that's Krishna's mercy. And Krishna invests his mercy in various manifestations of himself, such as the spiritual master and the manifestations of his different incarnations. We're hearing about that here, Lord Vishnu. So a devotee is fixed. And there's a beautiful prayer by Bilva Mangala Thakur in the Krishna Karnamrita. And this is the most wonderful prayer. I used to love to hear this prayer regularly. It's part of his series of prayers glorifying the Lord. He says, "My dear Lord, with your mercy, what is the use of others? And without your mercy, what is the use of others?" He doesn't want anything but Krishna's mercy, or the supreme mercy of all mercy. And he prays like that. And what is that mercy? It manifests itself in different ways. But ultimately, that mercy is pure devotional service. Please give me pure devotional service. Because savai pum samparo dharma yato bhakti ahoksaje ahoituki apriyata yayatma supersedati. This verse, spoken by Suta Goswami, in response to the questions of, from the sages of Namisharanya, he explains that pure devotional service has to be pure, otherwise it can't satisfy. Anything less than pure devotional service is unsatisfactory. Why? Because the nature of the soul is pure devotional service. So when we achieve pure devotional service, we're coming back to our actual constitutional position. So it's explained in the Shastras that one should inquire from and hear about and aspire for only pure devotional service. Using that example of the rhino, that even if you don't make it, still it's glorious if you try for it. But there is so much mercy available that, that if you try for it, you'll see how much that mercy will come in various forms. Because that's what Krishna wants. Prabhupada used to say, well, he would say, very few people are interested in Krishna. They want what Krishna can give them. They're not interested in the person so much. As much, they're more interested in what he can offer. And we see that on the material level, people are always praying for something better, better job. This is funny. We like to hear something funny. No? Okay. Just checking. I got the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and came to Krishna consciousness, I tried various other self-help and spiritual types of things. I don't know if I should criticize this group or not. But I will. So there was one group, it was a Japanese Buddhist group, and they would chant this mantra, Nam Yoho Ringe Kyo, Nam Yoho Ringe Kyo, Nam Yoho Ringe Kyo, Nam Yoho Ringe Kyo. And they went, we used to, and they had a prayer book, and it was other prayers, but that was the main prayer. So I thought, this is nice. So then I went to their first meeting. It was like a mass meeting. And they're all there. And it was a brass band with tubas and drums and cymbals and so many other, horns. And then the meeting was someone, one of the practitioners, would come up and stand in front and say, I have to really thank this wonderful, wonderful chanting, because before that I couldn't find the girlfriend of my love, and finally she came into my life. And then the brass bands would go, right? And they would just, and every great celebration, and somebody else would come as, I haven't had a job for 5 years, I tried so hard, and as soon as I started to chant, that job came. Yeah, success. blowing the horns, beating the drums, smashing the cymbals. That was like a kirtan. Kirtan, Maya's kirtan. So I was thinking, I don't know if I really want to stay in this group. And pretty soon, after that one meeting, I just left. I thought, this is not the goal of, you know, the spiritual life is all about getting good material gains. I thought it was bogus. And I quit. So, you know, this is what people aspire for. They worship or something that is spiritual in order to improve their material conditions on this level. And then those who have a little more intelligence, they aspire for a better material situation in the heavenly planets. There are those who aspire for devotional service, but with a desire to lord it over the material energy, such as the devas. The devas are not pure devotees, although they're very powerful. How powerful are the devas? Prabhupada says, just like you walk on the street, you see an ant or a bug, and you just think, I can just crush that bug. No problem. You don't have a fight with a bug. I mean, there's no match, right? The devas, Prabhupada said the devas are like that. If they want, they can just crush you in a second. That's what he said. I've heard that many times. They won't do it because they're devotees. Just like you won't step on bugs or kill insects because you know in the heart of every living entity, God is there. And therefore, to cause harm or transgress anyone's right to exist is an offense. And there's a reaction for that. You cause that person, that living entity, difficulty, and you get a reaction for that. So devotees know that. Because they try to serve the Lord, they don't cause any harm to any other living being. So the demigods don't do that. But they can. They have that power. They have that power. So there's those who have such great material power, spiritual position, strong abilities, great intelligence, but still, they're not pure devotion. Even Prabhupada said, Lord Brahma, he has to come back. Sometimes he actually goes to the spiritual world and comes back again. There's one verse in the third canto, the 33rd chapter. I forgot the exact number of verse. It's the very beginning of that chapter. Explains about Lord Brahma. Doesn't go back home in some cases. All the Brahmas are different, of course. So one should not even aspire to have devotion like Lord Brahma, who's so powerful. One should only aspire for pure devotional service. And if we aspire for pure devotional service, we get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that mercy is the complete mercy. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nohi Anya. That Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radha and Krishna is one. He's the combined manifestation of all mercy that's possibly available. And that mercy is the Sankirtan movement. That mercy is the Sankirtan movement. So devotees want to go back home to Godhead. Devotees are willing to stay life after life in this material world only if they can serve the Lord. Akrura. When Akrura went to Vrindavan on behalf, it was Uddhava. When Uddhava went to Vrindavan on behalf of Lord Krishna, Krishna wanted to send him to Vrindavan just to show him, you're pretty close to me, you have great devotion to me, and our love is deep for each other, but you're insignificant compared to the gopis. But he wanted to show him that if you really want to learn what love is about, go to Vrindavan. And when Uddhava saw and experienced the bhakti of the gopis, he couldn't express his understanding of what they were experiencing. It was too far beyond his ability. Although he was a greatly pure devotee, he was Krishna's cousin and had personal association with Krishna. And Uddhava's prayer, after seeing the love of the gopis was so strong, that Uddhava looked like Krishna. And he had the same bodily form as Krishna. When Uddhava came to Vrindavan, the gopis thought Krishna has come back. They became so happy. But then when they saw it wasn't Krishna, their happiness changed into something else. Although they were happy to see Uddhava, it wasn't the same. And then they offered beautiful prayers to Uddhava, welcome him, and Uddhava wanted to pacify the gopis by telling him about Krishna, them about Krishna. And Uddhava was just breaking their hearts, that's all. The more they heard about Krishna, the more they would just cry. Because he had so much love for Krishna, he was there on behalf of Krishna to somehow pacify the gopis' desire to be with Krishna by reminding the gopis through his pure devotee of his love for them. And at the same time, the gopis, they couldn't be pacified. All I could do was cry, thinking, when's he going to come back? And Uddhava, seeing the love of the gopis, his prayer was, in my next life, give me a place somewhere in Vrindavan as a blade of grass. So if somehow or other the gopis are doing their chores, they'll somehow step on my head. I would consider that the greatest benediction. That was his prayer. He wasn't even asking to pray. To be with Krishna. All he wanted was to get that kind of bhakti the mercy of that bhakti that the gopis had for Krishna. It was amazing. It was amazing. And he offers that prayer with such sincerity and such devotion. Also, Lord Brahma, he also prayed like that after he stole Krishna's cows and calves. And he realized what he had done. He also prayed to get that same mercy of the residents of Vrindavan. So that's the mercy we were looking for, the residents of Vrindavan. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai. Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. Shri Shri Gaurdittai Ki Jai. Just think about it. Not only do we have the presence of Shri Shri Gaurdittai, which is the full manifestation of the mercy, we're also in the personal presence of Radha and Krishna, in form of Radha Gokulananda, and Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman, the two highest manifestations of the personality of Godhead in their transcendental forms. How much mercy is available just when you walk into this temple room? So much mercy. We can't even calculate, but all we have to do is be receptive to that mercy. How do we become receptive to the mercy? We pray for it. One of the elements of bhakti, one of the main elements of bhakti, is prayer. Vandanam. Offering prayers to the Lord. But we have to pray in such a way that we pray for our ultimate welfare. And don't worry about what else happens. Because whatever you need in life, Krishna will give you. And whatever you don't need, you won't get it. If we focus on that one thing, to pray simply for Krishna's mercy in the form of pure devotional service, then whatever else we need in order to live in this world will be provided automatically. That is, one who worships the whole gets all the mercy of the parts also. But Krishna is the supreme whole in the form of offering pure devotional service. Just like we're looking at Radha and Krishna, but are we worshiping Radha and Krishna? No, we're not. We're worshiping Lakshmi Narayan. Why? It's Radha and Krishna is there, but we're worshipping Lakshmi Narayan. Why? Because you can only worship Radha and Krishna in Raganuga Bhakti. That's all. Pure devotional service. Krishna is not God. He's just a nice boy. Nicest boy. Very sweet. Very lovely. Dresses nicely. Very witty, funny, tricky. He's a lot of fun to be with. That's the way the residents of Vrindavan see Krishna. And they can't stop thinking of him, and they can't stop thinking how to serve him. But they don't consider him as God. So no one can approach Krishna in the mood of, you know, friendship or parental affection or Madhurya Ras unless they have spontaneous attraction for Krishna or on the platform of Raghunuthi. So the deity worship, the Lord comes in his deity form, he's there, that's Krishna. He's got the transcendental, he plays on the flute. Narayan doesn't play a flute, at least as far as I know. And Lakshmi is always massaging his feet, but Radharani is giving Krishna a hard time by not, you know, doing what he likes all the time. So this is a whole different mood of bhakti. Both are bhakti, but the element is the difference between Aishwarya and Madhurya. Aishwarya is, there's God, let me bow down before him, let me worship him, let me offer some gifts to him, let me offer some prayers to him. But you don't do that with Radha and Krishna. You just, you tell Krishna, you know, hey, Krishna, you look nice today. But I can see your mother forgot to dress you completely. You know, you with Krishna, it's like, it's more familiar. But don't try it. It's only if you're on that level. How do we get on that level? We purify ourselves through Aishwarya Bhav, and then we come to spontaneous attraction for Krishna. And therefore, then Krishna will reveal himself as Krishna and through the deity. But right now we're serving him as Lakshmi and Narayan until we become purified in consciousness. So there's so much mercy there. So we're always, our worship is always, at least the formal worship, is always in the mood of Aishwarya, awe and reverence, like that. When Gopakumara was trying to come to the platform of worshipping his Istadeva, he was a cowherd boy named Swarupa. This is mentioned in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. He went through the different levels of the planetary systems and seeing how the different devas, all the way up to Indra, Brahma, and the sages, were worshipping. He even went to see Shiva, how they worshiped the Lord in the different manifestations. He didn't find fulfillment. He didn't find fulfillment. He even got into Vaikuntha, and he was there with Lord Narayan. He felt strong attraction for Lord Narayan, that he wanted to embrace Lord Narayan. And Lord Narayan was happy about that, but at the same time, there was a hesitation because it was understood that if he did that, the residents of Vaikuntha would become angry. You don't do that to Lord Narayan. You don't embrace him. You offer worship and prayers and various kinds of services. So even though he felt like that, there was some, what we say, something missing in his expression of bhakti. Therefore, only when he went to Vrindavan, only when he worshipped in the mood of Vrindavan, in the mood of the Brajavasis, was he found complete satisfaction. And that's what Srila Prabhupada is giving us. And that's what Srila Prabhupada... He writes in Bhagavad Gita, in 1865, he mentions many of the incarnations of the Lord, but he says, our mood is to worship Radha and Krishna. Or our mood is to approach Radha and Krishna through the mercy and worship of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is our Sankirtan movement. And Lord Chaitanya will bring one to the gates of Sri Vrindavan Dham, and Radharani will open the door along with her assistants. So that's the mood of pure devotional service. So we want to come up to that standard. We want to go back home, back to Godhead. We don't want to stay in this material world by having a nice material arrangement and simply somehow or other staying on the level of mixed devotional service. It's like if I give you some sweet rice and I say, well, you know, I just added a few rocks to it. You know, just try to eat around the rocks. If you swallow one, it's a problem. So you don't want that. Therefore, pure devotional service is the nature of the soul. There's nothing left for that. So one should aspire for that. And we can pray for that through, we can aspire for that through prayers. Therefore, the prayers of the great souls, as mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam and other scriptures, is the mood that the devotees adopt. That's why offering prayers is so powerful. Because prayer tells the Lord that this is what we want. We pray every day when we're chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. What are we praying for? Right? We're praying to be engaged in pure devotional service. Bhakti Vinod Thakur translates the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra into, my dear Lord, please engage me in your service. That's the translation he gives, or the meaning of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So the devotee wants service. Or he wants that service that he can offer with complete absorption. Like that. Maya, this age is an age of, I remember Radhanath Maharaj was, he met this one very charismatic Christian preacher who was very educated and very devoted. And he said something very interesting. He said, this age is the age of mass distraction. The armor of mass destruction, right? Well, this age is mass distraction, right? There's so many ways to get distracted, and they're creating more, right? If you're not distracted enough, just wait. There's more things that'll come to distract you, right? You know, your cell phone can do everything, right? It's a little computer, it takes camera pictures, it does everything else. Wow, isn't that nice? They'll probably add a TV to it sooner or later. And your cell phone, you'll have a complete, you know, the electronic, everything that's on the market's in the cell phone, you know. But you got to get that cell phone because that's the complete perfection of material success, right? So it's just one thing after another. So many ways to get distracted. Therefore, one has to pray. My dear Lord, keep my consciousness on your lotus feet. Keep my consciousness on the mood of devotional service to you. That prayer is as good or even better than the efforts we make in our devotional service. Because it really accesses the complete success, and that is the mercy of the Lord. And that is the process of bhakti. Bhakti is simply a process of mercy. That's all. So one has to become, what we say, expert at being a beggar. Sometimes we go out and distribute books. We beg on behalf of the spiritual master, please take this book. Please learn about the goal of life. Please offer a little donation to the Lord. So we're begging, you know, in a mood of begging and in a mood of helping others. Because if we don't beg somehow or other, we don't get the ability to give them that mercy. We're begging for them. We're trying to plead for them to somehow or other see the benefit of what we're offering. So in the same way, for our own spiritual love, Benedict, we need to really pray. Bhakti Tirtha Swami, he made that prayer that shook the whole ISKCON society up. Do you remember that prayer? How many of you remember that prayer? Two people. He did it in front of the GBC in the Mayapur It was in a class in Mayapur during the GBC meetings when the entire GBC body was there in the class. He challenged all of us, please make this prayer. And before he said it, how many of you are willing to make this prayer? And then some hands went up like this, and some hands went up like this, and some hands went, I don't know about this one. What was that prayer? My dear Lord, please take away anything that's in my life that's stopping me from engaging fully in your devotional service. My dear Lord, please bring about anything that I need so I can engage in your pure devotional service. Two parts. Take away what I don't need. Bring on what I do need. It's a nice prayer. I won't ask you to make it, but think about it. Think about it. Because I've talked to people who've made that prayer and they said, wow, it happened fast. And then I wasn't ready for it. Are you ready for it? Do you want to go back home to God, or do you want to stay in this place? I mean, you know, it's not so bad. It's Bhaktivedanta Manor. But we can't really... It's just like anything less than pure devotional service doesn't satisfy us, because that's what we're looking for. We're looking for it in different ways. So that prayer is very powerful. But any prayer that contains these two elements, either get rid of or bring on, is the best of all prayers. But the best prayer is, my dear Lord, give me love for you. That's the best prayer. I don't have it. I know how valuable it is. I want it. Give me that love. We can pray like that, and we should pray like that. And that love comes in the form of serving the Lord like that. So a devotee only wants the best. A devotee is the best shopper. He goes only to the highest price stores. He doesn't go with the 5 and 10 dime stores looking for something cheap, right? Right? When you go shopping, I mean, of course, according to how much currency you have, you go to those stores. And what is your taste and what is your currency? So the question is, in our society, we have high taste, but we may not have the complete currency to buy it. What is that currency, that faith and that devotion? So we pray for the currency so we can buy the highest price. What is that? Pure devotion to Krishna. That's powerful. Okay. So a beautiful prayer. He's glorifying the Lord. Whatever anybody else can offer, it's only 1/10,000th of the mercy of what you can offer. Therefore, just give me your lotus feet. Satyavat's prayer. Okay. Hare Krishna. Any questions?